So they sent out the sec men. We hold up in a square of houses. Pretty little places, I guess. If you like fucking pretty. Lots of bones around there. We'd got us some tins and packets of freeze-dries, real nice. Shrimps and sauce and all.
Ugh. Doc looked as though he was going to interrupt him, then changed his mind and reached out for the bottle to take a pull on it himself. He passed it on to Ryan, who shook his head, and JB took a single mouthful, rinsed it around, and spat it out.
I took the front, Christy on the flank. Put a little lorry safe as I could around the back. It was the best I could fucking do, Doc.
How many men? What blasters they carrying?
Finn looked at JB through narrowed eyes. It was obvious he was ragged, near exhaustion.
Some of the swamp wags were bigger. I guess maybe 50 or more of the fuckers. Most got old M16 carbines. Some got Browning pistols, nothing big. Two of the buggies had Gren launchers. They were good. Smart young fucker in a white suit giving orders. Had a couple of shots at him. Made him duck. Got mud and shit all over him.
Go on.
Not much to tell. Too many of them. Figure I chilled 7 or 8. I'm not great at street firefighting. We kept moving. They made a rush. Got between me and the girls. No way I could get back. No way.
Dead or taken, Finn? Are we looking at burying and revenge or rescue?
I figure taken. You hear a couple of stun grenades go off?
Yeah.
That was it. I went in the front and out the side of a house, doubled back to kill whatever moved. Fucking weird. Put out a triple burst from the old H&K here. All hit him in the throat. Fucking head fell right off. Never seen that before. Clean as a big axe. Roll around my fucking feet and fucking near trip me over. That was when I heard the stuns. Ran up into the loft of an old frame house. Looked down. They were loading the girls into one of the wags. I had to go, but it wasn't no good. Near got caught. I tried.
Sure. Never thought any different, Finn. If you couldn't save him, the Nomad could.
Finn nodded, taking another long, bubbling draw at the bottle, draining it dry, then let it drop from his hand. The room was silent. Ryan wondered when the sec men might be back, guessing that they'd be reporting to the sinister Baron Tourmont with their prizes. They'd interrogate Christy and Laurie to find out all they could about how many there were, about arms, strength, and if the girls didn't cooperate, they'd use stronger measures.
Time's wasting. They'll guess we might come in after them. Be ready.
Never for a moment did Ryan, JB, or Doc consider just walking away. It would have been easy to head for the gateway and shut the door. Move somewhere else. With the unreliability and random quality of the Matran systems, there was no way they'd ever come back to Louisiana. It wasn't like it used to be with the trader. Back then, with a small army traveling together, if you got left, then you got left. It was the survival of the majority that counted. That was the rule, and every man and woman with the war wags knew that. You lived, and you died by those rules. Now there were just the six of them, moving together through an alien land where hostility was the norm and friendship was suspect. That meant you went out on the edge for one of the others. The three men looked at each other in the dusty, dimly lit room, each absorbed with his own private thoughts.
You against Baron?
The stranger's voice, coming out of the darkness by the door, made them all jump.
Well, we ain't fucking for him.
Then we ought to talk.
In the dim light, the newcomer's white hair flared like a vivid magnesium torch. Mephisto was thoroughly pissed off with what had happened. His best ivory suit was ruined, soaked in salt water, sodden with orange-gray mud, and liberally smeared with gator shit. Baron Tourmont wasn't that concerned for the health and well-being of his sec men, but to have 8 corpses to dump into the bayous in a single day couldn't just be overlooked, and there were 4 more men with serious gunshot wounds to tend. All that lay on the crimson debit side of the day's accounting. But there was an entry to be made on the credit side. He had 2 prisoners, both fairly unhurt, and as a bonus, both were female, and both young and attractive. They had a few cuts, bruises, and scratches, nothing worse. Except that the stun grenades always left victims partly deaf for a couple of hours, often caused a little bleeding from the ears and nose and mouth, and frequently burst tiny capillaries in the eyes, making them pink and sore. Mephisto was in the storage room in the basement of the old Best Western Snowy Egret Inn, only a few miles away from the Holiday Inn in West Lowellton. Half a dozen of his best men were stationed in the corridor, and the guards around the perimeter had been doubled. The Cajuns had spoken of 6 people, 4 men and 2 women. Mephisto had very nearly gotten himself chilled by a fat man in what looked like a dark blue uniform. The zipping burst of lead had missed him only by a fraction of an inch, and had actually torn a hole through the padded left shoulder of his suit. It was rare that his verbal exchanges with Baron Termont involved any humor, even grim humor. But after he had made his initial report, the Baron had looked at the state of his beloved suit.
It looks to me, Mephisto, like you got yourself elected out there.
No, Baron, but I surely got nominated real good.
His lips curled into a smile at the memory. The deaths of the men had creased Tremont's heavy brow, but the news that 2 women were bound and unconscious in the basement had brought a flash of white from his excellent teeth. Now Mephisto waited for his lord and master to arrive to inspect the prisoners. The rooms had 2 tables. The tops were scored and scarred, even scorched in places. The floor was bloodstained. Being questioned by Baron Tremont was not a gentle experience. One table held the blonde, a tasty dish for the Baron. She was very tall, close to 6 feet was Mephisto's guess. Her long hair was the color of summer corn in the old vids, and her red skirt, topped by a red blouse, showed most of the smooth thighs. Boots in crimson leather reached way over her knees, with high heels that must have added 5 or 6 inches to her stature. The boots had tiny silver spurs that made a delicate tinkling sound as the girl struggled with her bonds, clawing her way back toward consciousness.
Stunning.
But the other woman was even more amazing. Though an inch or two shorter than the blonde, she was beautifully built, with firm thighs and fine, proud breasts. Mephisto glanced toward the door, wondering whether he dared risk being caught stripping either of the women for his own pleasure. He decided immediately that he didn't dare. This girl wore coveralls streaked with drying blood from when she'd taken the neck out of one of the sec men who tried to close in on her before they used the stun grens. She still had on the most amazing pair of boots that the sec boss had ever set eyes on. But it was the hair. Hair that was brighter than any fire, redder than a chem cloud sunset across the bayous. Long and thick tresses, clotted with mud, tumbled over the girl's shoulders. Mephisto moved closer, extended a hand tentatively to touch the hair.
Lord Jesus!
He spun on his heels, his eyes wide with panic, face pale with terror, afraid that his forbidden Christian oath might have been overheard. If it had, then he was a dead man. While standing up and breathing, he'd be as dead as a pair of gator skin boots. But the hair, it had moved under his fingers, moved and tangled itself around his palm with an infinitely gentle slowness. The silken hairs had actually responded to his touch. Mephisto again looked over his shoulder and hastily crossed himself.
Sweet Jesus.
These strangers weren't ordinary mercies, hired from some frontierville farther west in Tex-Mex. Then who were they? Behind him, the door swung silently open on its oiled hinges. Mephisto heard the creaking of the Baron's leg supports.
Are they awake, Mephisto?
Coming around.
And we know nothing of them?